This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. We'll start verse 3. To put this in context, we've seen Samuel be born, enter the house of the Lord, and being called in the house of the Lord, and now he's being used in his giftings. At this point, he had to deal with Hophni and Phinehas. They were in the house, but they were not of God. Hophni and Phinehas were evil, and Samuel had to deal with that. Amen. He didn't look like what he'd been through. Can I tell you, there's some of us today, we don't look like what we've been through. We don't look like what we've been through in the past couple years. We look a little better than we ought to look for everything that we came through. Amen. And we'll pick up on verse 3. It says, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." And then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." And they gathered unto Mizpah and drew water and poured it out out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. It's an odd place to end, Brother Lawson, but we're going to get somewhere. Today I want to preach about this subject, new beginnings. New beginnings. How many of us are ready for a new beginning? How many of us are ready for a new start? Amen. Amen. One more time, we're going to pray. Father, we love you. I'm so thankful for what we've already felt in this service today. I pray, God, that you would anoint my voice today. Help me to preach, Lord God, like you gave this message to me. I pray that we have ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. The reason that Israel was afraid was because up until this point, the Philistines were whooping them right, left, and center. Every time they were fighting against the Philistines, they were getting their butt whooped. They had done lost and lost big. It's one thing to fight something you don't know who's going to win, but it's another one when you've done been whooped 2, 3, 4 times and you know what's coming, and they were afraid. They were afraid. They didn't want to fight them again. Look, we done learned our lesson. We don't want to fight this no more. And the Bible goes on to say, "And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel." The reason I want to preach this today is at some point in our lives, every single one of us has wanted a second chance or a do-over. We wanted a second chance to do things right. We wanted one more opportunity at the thing that took us out. Anybody had a butt whooping this year by something and it made you cry? It made you pout a little bit? Well, I've got news for you. We can return unto the Lord for a new beginning. It does not have to be the way it's always been. I'm talking about a new beginning. I'm ready for a new beginning. I'm ready to start over. If we had that opportunity, we'd make some different choices. We'd do things, but Gamboa, just a little different. We would make some different choices. Maybe we wouldn't go there. Maybe we wouldn't answer this call. Maybe we wouldn't listen to this voice. Amen. That is why it's unfair for people to bring up your past mistakes when they haven't figured out that you're learning from them and you're moving forward. Hear me today. It's okay to fail, but only if you learn from your failures and move forward. To fail over the same thing over and over and over again, that just boggles my mind. What boggles my mind even more is when somebody says the same thing they've been tripping up on all the time is a mistake. It's not a mistake. It's a mistake one time. It's a mistake one time. Say one time. After that, Hunter, it's a choice. It's a choice. There are two ways you can start your new beginning in terms of choices or decisions that you make. One, you can spend your life living in the demonic state of guilt from the enemy. That is straight from the gates of hell. Living in guilt and shame your entire life is from the gates of hell. Can I remind you, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Can I tell you, if we get up and move past what tripped us up, we are forgiven. There is no reason to live in guilt and shame over a past mistake. Guilt will make you hate yourself. Guilt will make you question yourself. Guilt will plague your mind, and every time you start to do something for God, that guilt will creep back in. Oh, you're going to live for God now after you did all that? Come on, I'm talking to somebody today. I'm going to tell you that you can get past that. The enemy comes to condemn you. The enemy comes to beat you down and tell you that you are nothing. You are not what you did. You turned from that. That was a one-time thing. Your failure was not final. There is victory on the other side of that thing. I'm glad it wasn't final for David when he fell. I'm glad it wasn't final for Noah when he got drunk. I'm thankful it wasn't final for Peter when he cursed at that fire. I'm thankful that it wasn't final for him when he denied knowing Christ three times. I'm thankful that their failure wasn't final. Your past does not define you. Or you can do this. You can allow conviction to transform you. You have two choices. You can either let guilt and shame take over, or you can allow conviction to set in and let it change you. Hear me today. Conviction gives you the choice to transform to what God has called you to be. It's okay to be convicted. It's okay to be in a church service and God begin to do surgery on your heart and you feel your knuckles turning white as you grab the back of a pew because you know the word is hidden right where it needs to be. It's fine to come to an altar and lay it all down on the altar. That is the second choice, and that is where you are changed. That's where you're changed. You have to decide to let conviction set you free. Conviction is not God saying, I got him, whack. What it's saying is, come on, child, let me get this out of you because it's going to kill you. You have the opportunity to allow God to do that. You can't allow other people to determine your freedom. I'm so thankful that I'm not judged because of my past. I have not always been perfect, Sister Lawson. You know this better than anybody. I have not always got it right, Kaylin. You see, we think because I come up here in my nice little suit and my white shirt and I get behind a pulpit that I've been exempt from all types of things. But can I tell you, I have failed. I have failed miserably at times. But what I did was I did exactly what the Bible said. I got back up the eighth time. I refused to lay and wallow in self-pity because I fell down. We can allow these things to make us so much more than what we are. The problem is that some people allow others to have the keys to their freedom because they keep bringing up your failures. That's who you used to be. Can I tell you one of the most liberating things that you'll ever do is the very people who remind you of where you come from, just cut them out. Can I tell you, you can love them from a distance. You can pray for them. But if all they have is negative to sow in your ear, my Lord, put you some distance between them. Don't allow, your ear is not a garbage can. And can I tell you, if you allow somebody to speak something to you so much, eventually that's what you become. He who the Son set free is what? Regardless of what your neighbor says, regardless of what your friends say, regardless of what Joe Schmo down the road says, regardless of what your critics say, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Now, I don't know about you, but I trust in him way more than I trust in my neighbor or this colleague or this person over here that doesn't have my best interest in mind. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. My. You have to be strong enough to know that Jesus has set you free. It's funny, but Kaylin, we've got faith that God can save the prostitute, the drug dealer, the murderer. We believe God can do that, the liar. But when it comes to me, God, my sin's too big. We have to believe it. It's not enough to believe it for Danny or Kara or Brother Zach back in the back. It's not enough to believe it for my neighbor. I have to believe it for me. I have to believe that God loved me and he saved me and he's forgiven me, because I cannot give out. I cannot convey what I do not possess. You cannot let people drag you back into captivity for the things God delivered you from. Samuel stepped in when Eli's vision got dim. Out of an environment of no vision, no real priest, Eli's son doing things that were not good in the sight of God, Samuel was born. You know, I've found that God does his best work in the worst of times. When he came, the king was killing babies. He wanted to know, because there was going to be a king, King of Kings, born. When Moses was born, they were killing babies. God forges some of the greatest people in the fires of adversity. We think because we're going through something that God couldn't possibly use me. But in fact, that's exactly who God can use, because they can be trusted because they've been through the fire. Hannah's desire, her passion was to have a son. But what she didn't know is that God wanted Samuel on the scene as well. Can I tell you, a lot of the things that we're praying for, God's wanting to have happen too. But he's waiting on perfect timing. Don't you get messed up in God's timing. You keep desiring and let God do the perfect work in your life. A lot of the things that you want, God wants it just as bad as you do. You think God doesn't want a teen group back there? He does. But timing had to dictate that. You don't think God wants somebody to speak to the captives? God has timing for that, and he wants it as bad as you do, and that's why he's opening up jail ministry. This happens for a reason, and God has a plan too, and most of the time it aligns with our plan, but not with our timing. Her son Samuel was the start of a new beginning. Sometimes God makes you want something personally so he can use it strategically. Hey, so how many of us want a ministry so bad we can't hardly stand it? We've got a burning passion in our heart. Can I tell you, God wants it too, and he's wanting to use you strategically to get his gospel message out. So he allowed you to have a burden. Don't you get messed up and think that God's not trying to help you. He's moving you at the exact right pace. And when it's exactly the right time, you will see a revival like you've never seen, and you'll know that God had his hand in it. I'm talking about some new beginnings. Clap your hands to the Lord. My. The Bible says that God will give us the desires of our heart. No, God is not going to give you whatever you want, but he will give you the desires that align with his will. And Samuel was a new beginning. He was born in a mess, and God brings fantastic things out of messes. I'm going to tell you, if you're in a big mess right now, God's getting ready to move in a miracle, because that's where God specializes. You think you've got it messed up so bad? Let me tell you, honey, it ain't never out of his control. When he called you, he factored in what you were going to do in the process. He factored out our stupidity. Look, I'm going to tell you, he had to do a lot. He had to do some calculus when he figured me out. When God gets ready to straighten something out, there has to be a great beatdown. I was sent a small clip this week, and it says, when God gets ready to use you, he's going to dismantle your life. I remember, I may have told this before, I'm just going to say it this one more time today. A prophet came through the church that we started out in. But Kaylin, I avoided him like the plague. I didn't like prophets. He scared me to death. I didn't know what he was going to say, what he's going to do. So I just avoided him. It was a 3-day revival. I avoided him the first 2 days. Perfect. Man, I would dip and dodge. And then the final night of revival, I thought he'd already left. I thought he was gone. I was closing up shop. I thought he done went with pastor to go get a bite to eat. And I opened up a door to turn off the light, and there he stood like that scared me to death. He had a big old fella. Bro, when I tell you he's this big and this big. Just a big old fella, scared me to death. He had a real deep voice.
Brother Lawson, I've been waiting to talk to you.
Okay.
He says, brother, in order for God to take you where he wants to take you, sometimes you have to lose everything.
Thanks. So I went home. I didn't even go out to eat that night. Went home. Sister Lawson, like, you know how wives do. What did he say to you? Tell me it. Go on, tell me what he said. Okay. He said, Sister Lawson's hanging on the edge of her seat. Sometimes you got to lose everything for God to do what he wants. What's that mean? It means exactly what you think it means. But Danny, wasn't long after that, I was in a hospital bed with rods in my back. Wasn't very long after that. Wasn't very long after that that we had to declare bankruptcy. Wasn't very long after that that all kinds of chaos broke out in our world. But God was doing something. See, he had to break everything down so he could rebuild it back better. There had to be a beat. He had to get down to the front. When you're restoring a car or an old house, you cannot just put Bondo on that car over the rust and think it's going to work. There has to be some abrasive sandpaper. There has to be some cutting. There has to be some removal. You have to get down to the bare metal. You have to break it down. And so is the same with us. See, for Israel, there was a great beatdown because not only was there fornication going on, but the priests were stealing money. They also started worshiping idols, kind of like some folks in our day. They love the Lord, but they follow a horoscope, or they love the Lord and they got a lucky rabbit foot. Who's lucky in that? It's not the rabbit, I can tell you that. They love the Lord, but they'll go get their fortune read. They love the Lord, but this. They love the Lord, but that. But they'll never consult the Lord on what he wants. It's funny how we mix stuff in with our faith, thinking our faith needs crutches, and it doesn't. Jesus don't need no help. I don't need luck. I've got him, and I walk by faith, and I trust him. Amen. The Lord was trying to break their cultures, and culture does not break easy. Culture can be in a community, in our family. That's why marriage is difficult. A culture had got into the fabric of Israel. Can I tell you? I know for a fact that the marriage model that I saw was a lot different than the marriage model that my wife saw. And unfortunately, what you see starts to build your culture and what you think's appropriate. That's why it's so important for us as parents that we model good marriages in front of our children, because that's what they're looking at and that's what they're thinking that marriage is supposed to look like. Amen. So some of you married people better clap your hands to the Lord right now, because I'm going to tell you, it matters. It matters. We shouldn't fight in front of our kids. If we disagree, we disagree. It's fine to disagree. Me and Sister Lawson don't always agree on things, especially when it comes to food after Sunday church. But there's more weighty matters that sometimes when we were growing up, when we were raising our family, we didn't always see eye to eye on discipline, but we would never allow that to be saw in front of our children. That's when we would take it later and we would discuss things. We wouldn't get out of sorts with one another because we're trying to model a marriage for our kids. Amen? Amen. That was free. A culture had gotten into the fabric of Israel, a culture of all the other pagans around them. And whenever there's a culture that needs to be broken, it's not enough to bring in what's good and leave the bad. You have to discard the bad. It's not enough. But Miguel, if I went out and scooped up some mud in a cup, but then I decided I wanted a drink of cool water, would it be okay to pour that water on top of that mud and drink it? No. You have to get rid of the old in order for the new to be good. Can I tell you, there's some things that we need to leave in 2024 that's not going to be good for 2025. And so we got to clean some things out. We got to get rid of some things, some negativity, some stinking thinking that we're not one to take into 2025. Amen. Cultures don't break easy. Loudmouth people don't shut up easy. They don't. Mealy-mouth people don't act right easily. They don't speak up easily. Violent people don't settle down easily. Addictive behaviors aren't broken easily. It's a lot of work. You have to be determined to change. In this entitled generation, it takes work. It takes work to change. Amen. It takes a lot of work. And don't get it mixed up. A quiet family that just holds everything in but mad about everything is just as bad as one that's vocal about what they're mad about. We have to get it addressed. Amen. You can't hold... praise Jesus. Good families are a lot of work. Great marriages are a lot of work. Great relationships are a lot of work. Miguel, you get on my nerves sometimes, but I love you. And we talk about it. I know I get on your nerves sometimes too. You ain't even got to tell me. I know, because I get on my own nerves sometimes. But what you got to understand is it takes work, and you have to work on it. You can't clam up just because the other person ain't acting right. You got to work through it. You have to talk to it. It's going to be hard. Look at your neighbor and tell them it'll be hard. But it'll be worth it. Amen. God wants to break the culture. It's not enough for someone to get saved. It's not enough just to get a word. You have to go through a beat down. God wants to totally rehab you. Israel needed a beat down. They were comfortable with a little worship and a little idolatry. They were comfortable right there. They was all right getting their little fix on Sunday. Oh, praise Jesus. And then going out and acting like a hellion the rest of the week. The beatdown came when the Philistines came to fight. And a beatdown will break culture. When you get saved, there's a battle that comes on purpose, with purpose to change you. You're going to have a battle that is going to change you. Can I tell you, some of y'all are in the middle of the battle right now that's literally changing you. And can I tell you, there are some casualties in the battle. When the Philistines fought Israel, there were some that didn't make it. There were casualties there. But during that beatdown, there was something that happened. A culture got broken. Some things got changed. Amen. You might have someone addicted in your family and you can't get them off drugs. You might have someone who's lazy in your family. You can't make them get a job. God knows exactly where the battle needs to break out in your life to push you to the point where you say, I surrender, God. I can't do this no more. The problem is when the beatdown comes, sister, let me talk about it. I'm going to talk about it right now. Is that okay if I talk about it? We try to fill our lives with everything under the sun to try to numb the beatdown, try to numb the pain of the beatdown. Instead of letting God come in and allow the beatdown to change us, we try to numb it by getting busy, by doing activities, instead of allowing God to do what he needs to do in our lives. Sometimes we just need to take a step back. Quit trying to be so busy and allow God to work. We think the only reason, I'm not in my notes right now. We think the only reason that we have anesthesia during surgery is so we don't feel any pain. That's what we think, right? But it's beyond that, Brother Danny. And you know that. It's to keep the patient from moving. It's to keep the patient from getting up off the table mid-surgery. Can I tell you, there's been so many saints of God that God's been trying to do a surgery on during this beatdown, and you're getting up off the table thinking, I'm fine, I can do this, I can do that. You're not fine, honey. Lay back down and allow God to finish the surgery. Lay back down there and allow God to finish the work he started. My God. But Danny, if I would have got up or moved on that table when the doctor was operating on my spine, I would have been paralyzed and ruined forever. But can I tell you, because I laid there and allowed the doctor to do the work, I can walk straighter and lift more than ever. Can I tell you, somebody needs to quit moving and allow God to work. Clap your hands, the Lord. My. Hallelujah. God wants you to surrender. God knows how to make you say yes. For those of you that are in the beatdown right now, if you're honest with yourself, God tried to get your attention before the great beatdown came, and you turned a deaf ear. You decided, I'm okay. You shook yourself one more time like Samson did. Oh, yeah, there's the Spirit of the Lord. I'm okay. He hasn't left. My God, I'm walking in it right now. Until the point where God had to make you lay down. Can I tell you, don't you get up off that table while he's working on you. Lift your hands to the Lord. My Lord, I feel him in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My. Hallelujah. The first battle with the Philistines, they were overconfident. Oh, man, we got this. They don't know who they're messing with. That's what the Israelites were saying. They had sin in their camp. They were overconfident in themselves. I can make it through this enemy. It's just a little enemy. We got this. They wasn't addressing the undone in their life. They wasn't addressing their sin in their life. And they got overconfident because the Lord had been fighting for them up until this point. The Philistines heard the shout and were a little scared. Can I tell you, not every shout is a shout of victory. And Israel's was a shout of presumption. They thought because God did it all these other times and we were living out of the way, he's going to do it again. They thought that everything was okay. I've been living like this for a while. I've been sneaking around for a little while. I've done had these other little idols for a little while, and God ain't judged me yet, so I'm going to be okay. God's okay with it. He's overlooking it. No, he's trying to give you a little grace to get everything fixed up and worked up. Deal with that thing, and they refused to do it. They had a shout of presumption. They brought the ark down, assuming God would defeat their enemy, but they were trying to use God along with their idol-worshiping culture. There are people who don't serve God, but you come to church because you need God to do something for them. You think, if I just go to church, I'll get the victory. I won't serve him Monday through Saturday, but I'll just come on Sunday to get my little blessing. That's hogwash, friend, and eventually that's going to run out, and Jesus is going to require more of you. You think just a little bit of Jesus is going to make it all right, and you get in trouble and you just add a little bit of Jesus. I'll just go get my blessing. I'll just sing one more song and it'll be all right. The conviction of the thing that I messed up in, I'll just sing another song and it'll go away. There's a danger in that, my friend. If you never deal with that thing, there's a danger in it. The enemy was scared but attacked anyway. Just because you danced on Sunday doesn't mean the devil ain't going to attack you. 3,000 died that day, and that is a beatdown. Eli was at the palace waiting for a word. The servant came back. 30,000 dead. Your sons are dead. But he sat through it. They stole the ark, and Eli fell backwards and broke his neck. The ark being stolen meant the presence of God was gone. The way he fell was prophetic. He fell backward. God says you have to fall back to the way that you used to serve me. Some of you used to be on fire for God, and now you're just trying to barely get by. It's time to get back to the old paths, the old wells, and the old ways where we first found God and we were on fire, because that's what God is wanting this coming year. He fell backwards, broke his neck. Either Hophni or Phinehas's wife was pregnant, and when she heard the word, she immediately went into labor and gave birth, and she named the child Ichabod, meaning that God has left. She died during childbirth. God brought new life from a dead situation. This was the same thing happening in Israel. That child was supposed to be the next priest, but it wasn't to be so, because Samuel was on the job. Amen. It's amazing to know that God will do amazing things in your life if you'll go back to serving him like you used to. Kaylin, I talk a lot, but I'm going to tell you, when I first got into church, you couldn't shut me up, and I didn't care who you were, you was going to hear about my Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, I witness to people now, but back then, I was on fire. Back then, when I first got in church, you couldn't keep me away from the church house. I remember when I was in ministry, and they told me to slow down, and I got my feelings hurt. Because I felt like there was something else I was supposed to be doing for God. And now, when it's a day off, I just kind of... And then I find scripture, right? Brother Danny was sharing some scripture with me. Man, he done blessed me yesterday. He blessed me. He said, yeah, he said, David's last giant, when he went out to war, they told him, you better get back to the house, because we going to fight this one. You know? I was like, my God, that's a word from the Lord right there. I need to get back to the house. But let me tell you something. We need to get back to how we were. Y'all know that spot where you and Jesus, you and the Lord were walking in the garden, and you could feel him so close. There's something about when you're walking right with him. There's something about walking in the cool of the day with him, and there's no weights. There's no sin between you. See, that's what broke Adam and the Lord up, because sin... The Bible said, and I know that I've talked to some of you about this, that he went to the cool of the day. And it appears from Scripture that this was a common thing. This was routine for them. And he had to call out for him, Adam, where art thou? See, the thing about it is when we get in sin, we run away from God. We don't want to talk to the man of God. We don't want to be in the house of God. We try to avoid things because guilt and shame are ridden of us. And all we have to do is make a conscious decision. I'm falling back to what I know to do. I'm falling back in the arms of Jesus. I'm falling away from this thing that's pulling me to the world. You remember when nothing could keep you from the house of God, when you wanted everybody to know what God had done for you, when you weren't afraid to worship God, when you would give above and beyond your tithes, when you were looking for things to do at the church rather than things to get you out of going to church. If you'll go back, he'll change the way you think. If you go back, he'll bring you out of anything. Can I tell you, he's still the deliverer. He is still the provider. He's still everything we need. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nisi, he still reigns in victory. He's still my Prince of Peace. He's everything I need. If we will go back, he'll provide again. You can't be stubborn and use God like he's your Uber, your maid, or your butler. That's not what he's called to do. He wants relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He just don't want to be there whenever you need him. He wants you to want to be there. But you must withstand the beatdown. He must beat you down until you admit, God, I need you. He's got to beat you down until you admit, God, I've got a problem. God, I'm not getting past this on my own. I'm trying. I can't do it. God, I need you. He's got to beat you down until you admit that you have a problem. He's got to beat you down until you admit, yes, I might be lazy. Lord, my family's suffering from it. Yes, God, I've got an anger problem and I don't know how to deal with it. Yes, God, I've got this problem and that problem. God, I don't know how to fix it. Why do we continue to do the same thing over and over and over, thinking that the result is going to be different? We do things the exact same way. Well, I'm going to do it this time and this time it's really going to work. No, what you need is Jesus. What you need is a relationship with the Lord where he can get down in your crawl, where you open everything to him and allow him to work. We think that we add a little church to it. Everything's going to be all right. People all over the nation thinking they can lead the praise team and be half naked on Instagram. I'm so tired of seeing that. So tired of seeing that. The church has got a bad name, and I'm talking about all churches because of what they see portrayed. And you know, we need Jesus. This nation needs Jesus, and I'm not talking about the American Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. Same people, though, have the nerve to say, I'm disappointed in God, yet they're not living worth a nickel's worth of nothing. My friend, you're in the middle of the beatdown. And God is going to keep on and on until you finally say, yes, Uncle, I give. And this is for somebody right now. What used to work ain't working no more, is it? I'm in somebody's business right now. How you used to get it ain't working. You can't figure out why it didn't work, and you can't just snap your fingers and the Lord appear out of the corner and you put him in and expect him to do the thing. And God is saying, you're not going to just use me at your convenience. I want all of you, not just part of you. We've got so comfortable only calling on God when we need him, but not being there when he needs us. This cannot be a one-sided relationship. In 2025, we need to fix some things. And can I tell you, when we do fix it, everything is going to be all right. There's some things that we need to leave in 2024, and partial submission is one of them. See, I came from old school parents. If I messed up, I got a beating.
I didn't just get a whooping, I got a beating. They would have thrown my mom in jail today. For that matter, my kids come from the old school. My kids know. Tasha's kids, they will often bring up the story. They'll be like, "Papa, tell us a story again about when you whooped mommy when she was 17. We want to hear that one again." Because I came from that school, and she had gotten real mouthy, Jaden, with Momo. And I remember she thought at 17 she was too big to get a beat down. Boy, was she wrong. And we remember, and we call these things back to memory. But do you know what? She's respectful today. God knows how to do it. My parents said, just like I told my kids, "I'm doing this because I love you. The reason that you're going through a godly beatdown right now is because the Lord loves you. And he wants you to spend eternity with him. But there's some things that you ain't got right, so he will correct you until you get it right." Amen. That's what God's saying. "I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this for your good. And I don't care what anyone says." There's people that say, "Well, I'm just going to be me." Won't bet. I bet God can fix that. "I'm going to say what I think." God will shut you down in a minute. If you've ever been through a beatdown, it's humbling. It'll make you pour out like water, and it'll make you get on your face before God. And when that thing dies, when you lose the right things, you'll quit trying to be the teacher and you'll become the student. You'll quit trying to boss your own life and realize, "I don't have it together." And that's when God can step in. You really want a new beginning? Let go of the reins and let God take them. You really want 2025 to be different? I know that we're starting this year off, and thank God, Hunter, lock in, buddy. We're doing the Daniel's Fast, and it's going to be rough. But can I tell you, it's worth it, because you find out that there's things in you that you didn't know was there. When you get a little hungry, you start seeing a side of you wish you'd never seen. But that's where God can work on you. When you go through the beatdown, you might not have been one that wanted to worship before, but after that, you want to worship again. Amen. Look, I thank God for every whooping I ever got. I needed it. I thank God for every whooping he's given to me. There's times that I have had to cry before God, and that's where he changed me. If y'all would have met me 20 years ago, you would have said, "There's no way this guy's ever going to pastor. No way. Not even close. Are you kidding me?" But I can tell you, there were some times that I had to cry. There's times where I had to say, "God, I give up. God, I need a new beginning, and I need you to help me." When we spoil our kids, we set them up to be disappointed for the rest of their lives. When you give your kids everything that they want, when they become adults, they'll be disappointed because it isn't handed to them like before. There's sometimes God makes us wait on things so we won't be spoiled children. There's sometimes he has to correct us so we're not spoiled. When you give them everything their heart desires, they're going to expect it and be disappointed. When you don't discipline them for acting out, they are going to try that as teens and adults and find out that that's not how it works. God gives out whoopings to keep us out of hell. And we need to discipline our boundaries. But now for the good part. Everybody's looking pretty down right now. There's hope. After the beat down, after God gets everything out of you that doesn't need to be there, there's a great turnaround.
There is a great victory. This is good news for someone, but first the beatdown. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. If I chasten you and you leave, you weren't mine in the first place. If I can't whoop you and you be all right, you weren't mine in the first place. That's what God's saying right there. Amen. The Lord chastens who he loves. You'll love him when you think about what his chastening kept you from. Amen. So Eli and his sons and 30,000 people are dead. Israel's ready to listen now. There are casualties with stubbornness. We can't become a good spouse too late. It starts today. It starts right now. You don't need to wait till January 1 to be a good wife or a good husband. It starts today. It starts this next minute. I start right now. Amen. Come on, listen to me. We have to understand that every choice we made had a consequence. If you've been through the beatdown in your marriage, guess what? Today's the day to start over and be the best spouse ever. I'm going to tell you, I think that sometimes I get on my wife's nerves because I try to be a great spouse. When we first started out, I was not a great spouse, and I acknowledge and recognize that. And the Lord had to deal with me on that. He had to take me through the Bible and work me over. And now I try to be the best spouse ever. I try to be super spouse, if you will. But can I tell you, it started just like a normal day. I just decided, hey, maybe if I do this, it'll help her out. Maybe if I tell her how nice she looks, because she really does look nice today. I just never tell her enough. Can I tell you, we can't wait till it's too late. We can't wait till our spouse has done folded up and said, I'm done. We got to start right now. Look at your neighbor and tell them right now. Boy, that was as enthusiastic as I don't know what, my Lord. It's amazing to me that sometimes I will preach and the ones who need it most are on their cell phone or just not paying attention or don't want anything to do with the service. Arrogance causes casualties. I already know that, really? Because in some cases, not necessarily in this church, your life doesn't look like it. People that I will preach a message to, and they'll let it go right over their head. Sometimes they'll be playing with babies or doing whatever. I've watched people walk out of the church, lose out with God, and me preach my guts out to them, and they never heard a word I said. My question is this. Does your life look as smart as your mouth says you are? Do you have all your ducks in a row? Can I tell you, I have room for improvement. We all do. We all do. So our text says that Samuel's now telling them how to have a new beginning. You have some cleaning up to do. You got to get rid of the idols in your life. You either are or you aren't. Get all the way in or get all the way out. Make a decision. Don't just hang around. Make a decision. I'm all in this thing. I'm in it to win it, or I'm out. I'm out with a shout. Just make a decision. We know what the Bible says about lukewarm Christians, right? What's it say? What's it say, Brother Miguel? Spew you. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Come to church one day and not the next. I'm on fire this day. I'm not on fire this. Come on. Be the same. Be instant in season and out of season. Be thank God all the time. Worship. Y'all better hear me today. Be constant. You got some cleaning up to do. Get in or get out. And then they fasted and prayed. It's hard to have idols when you fast and pray. It's hard to mess up when you're fasting and praying. It's hard to say the wrong thing when you're fasting and praying. It's hard to look at things you're not supposed to look at when you're fasting and praying. It's hard to do all these things when you're fasting and praying. If you'll keep your mind on God, everything will be all right. Keep your mind on God. Amen. Before they fought the Philistines without praying about it, without getting a word, and they got their tail whooped. But now the whooping humbled them. They're fasting and praying. Can I tell you, when you get a whooping, it'll humble you, and you will fast and pray. And you won't take things for granted no more. You won't assume that everything is going to be all right. And this time, when they went out, they were afraid. There, look, I'm gonna tell you a couple, three whoopings. I'm gonna be a little skeptical. Last time the Philistines were afraid and the Israelites were confident, and this time it's reversed. Can I tell you, all fear is not bad. We should have a little bit of fear about some things. You see a grizzly bear standing up on paws like this, you should be a little bit afraid. When we are overconfident is when we fail. When we think that can't happen to us, that's when we fail. But they were totally different when they approached it this time. And this is where God wanted them. Before they ever prayed, they went out and they poured water on the ground. Thing about water is it can't stand up. It's abased. We no longer underestimate their enemy. They're no longer underestimating their enemy. They are afraid, but they're going ahead. They ask Samuel to not quit praying like Eli did. Cease not to pray. Samuel takes the lamb, sheds it blood. Why? Because he understood there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. The same stands true today. We had to have the blood of Jesus. You know what? You going through a time, you better start pleading the blood of Jesus. Your family going through a time, start pleading the blood of Jesus over your kids. Start pleading the blood of Jesus over your finances. Start pleading the blood of Jesus over these things. Amen. He offered it up and he prayed in the smoke, sweet smelling savor. And so while Israel's marching into the battle, the man of God is praying. And you must have faith and works. James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You can't just pray about it and do nothing. You can't just pray about your situation and then sit on your hands. That's not how it works. We have all kinds of prayer, but no action. You're praying about a job, but you sit in the house. Guess what? They're not going to come get you off the couch. You got to go get it. You're praying about the will of God in your life and ministry, but you wait on everyone to do it for you. Faith without works is dead. Works without prayer won't get you there either. You have to do it all. You have to be praying and working. You have to be praying and chasing your dream. You have to be praying and rebuilding your life. You have to be praying and rebuilding your family. And God is preparing you in the process. Just because you had a great beatdown doesn't mean that you're not going to have a great turnaround. As a matter of fact, there's nothing that compares to the turnaround after a beatdown. I want you to stand with me today. I know I've went a lot longer than I usually do. Can I inform somebody today? God's not looking for a bunch of goody-two-shoe Christians. He's not. He's looking for somebody who's been through a beatdown. Somebody who knows how to humble themselves. Somebody who God has dismantled them. Has stripped everything away from them and is now rebuilding. Because he knows that if you are seeking him in the rebuilding, that structure is going to stand strong. As we go into 2025, we've got a lot of work to do. Admittedly, I saw what God had done in Shelbyville and how quickly he had turned things there. And I just assumed that he was going to do the same thing here almost immediately. But today, I'm realizing, as I put this message together, I realize that's not his plan for Shepherdsville. But whatever it is, I'm here for it. Whatever you got to do, God. And I believe that he's preparing us for what he is sending. Sister Lawson and I have agreed on this several times. There's going to be such an amazing thing happen here. We can't get messed up in his timing. He's going to do it. Meanwhile, I must prepare. While he's dismantling me for this church, I need to let him rebuild what he's going to do. With every head bowed and every eye closed,